You're listening to the Melrose Place podcast, where we rewatch, recap, and analyze every episode of the hit 90s TV series, Melrose Place.
Dan Hill here.
Jenny Hill here.
Let's get started. All right, this episode is called A Promise Broken. Air date was September 30th, 1992. And holy bananas, it's getting good.
So we open up on Melrose Place and we go to the Mancini residence. And the entire, all of the residents of Melrose Place are there watching videos of baby Jane.
Oh, they're not watching videos, Jenny. They're watching a film strip.
Oh, yeah, on a projector.
Right.
You're right.
This is some old school way of capturing home videos. I don't even, like, how do you even record a film strip? I don't know.
That's a good question. Well, Jane reveals that she was born in 1969. Right. So that's when these film strips were created.
They just called them home movies. My mom would call them home movies.
So everyone's watching these home movies, and some are a little bit more enthused than others.
Everyone except Jake, my homie, my man, my ace, Jake Hansen, is asleep on the floor.
Oh, God.
While these are going on, and everyone else is, like, super intrigued. And seriously, though, watching other people's home movies is terrible.
Well, they run out of film strip, and the lights go on, and the Mancinis order everybody out. But we find out that Jane is going to get her first ultrasound the next day. They're not going to find out the sex of the baby. They have the crib up. They've got all of their baby accoutrement are ready to go.
And they're ready to go.
Everyone in Melrose Place is super excited about the baby, and they can't wait for its arrival.
At this point, I looked over at you, and I was like, yes, we're getting the baby episode.
Yes, that's right. So Allison and Billy go back to their own apartment, and that's when Billy says, home movies are as exciting as watching the grass grow.
And I agree with you, Billy. We're finally on the same page.
I think that's like the one thing that you and Billy can agree on.
Yeah, man. So, and, you know, Allison is like, oh, Billy, you're being insensitive. And by the way, this place is fucked. All your stuff is everywhere.
And she's like, it smells like a boy, like dirty socks. And she starts going through all of their stuff and picking up like socks and underwear. And
right. Then she devises a plan that, like, Billy, there's no way that you can carry your own weight here. I'm going to bet you that if you can't carry your weight, then you have to take me to dinner and pay for it. And immediately I'm like, this sounds like a proposal from someone who wants to go on a date with Billy. Because, need I remind you all, history has shown that if Billy says he will, he won't.
That is very true. So Billy says, well, what happens if I do all my chores and clean up after myself after a week? And then Allison's like, well, then I'll take you out to dinner and pay for it.
Right. And see, this is the type of deals that, like, my mother would make with me about, like, learning my math facts when I was a little kid. Like, we could go to McDonald's if I, like, if I, like, said my ABCs. Allison is Billy's mother. That's what this is.
Yeah, it's like, why can't he just clean up after himself like a good roommate?
I don't know. Because he's just incapable of doing anything that is relevant to being a citizen of this earth. He just can't do anything right.
So It's a little bit later that day, and Billy's trying to get a jump on getting all of his chores done. Allison's in the shower, and he just yells into her, "Hey, I'm going to go ahead and get your clothes, and I'm going to do a load of laundry with your clothes in mine."
Right. And she's just kind of like, okay. Or she doesn't even really hear him.
Yeah, because she's in the shower, and Billy goes down to the laundry room where Jake is doing a load of laundry.
Right. And then there is a very strange exchange. So, Jake is down there already doing his laundry, and he asks Billy, or Billy asks Jake for change.
Yeah, for quarters.
And then Jake goes, "Don't have quarters. You got soap?" And then I'm like, "Jake, how the fuck were you doing your laundry?" And then somehow, like, Jake gives Billy quarters.
Uh-huh.
Billy throws Jake soap. And Billy says, and then Jake says, "You got the dryers, but Billy doesn't only has the change that you gave him."
Only you would be this preoccupied with how they're going to do their laundry.
Well, because Jake's already there. So what is you, Jake? What are you washing your clothes with?
I get it.
And then how is Billy gonna pay? How does he pay?
These are questions that might go unanswered within the world of Melrose Place.
Very strange.
But one thing that does happen is that Billy starts going through Allison's dirty laundry and pulls out a bra.
Yeah, a very sexy bra.
And Billy and Jake are having a lot of fun playing with the bra. Jake puts it up to his forehead, tries to guess the size.
Because Jake knows his way around a bra. He knows where the tag is. The clasps, and then Billy puts that shit on.
Yeah, he puts the bra on, and he's like, "Ooh, this feels really nice."
And then they start like oogling and laughing like guys do. And then they hear footsteps, and then a little close up shot of the bottom of the rattiest, nastiest robe in the business, Allison. She sees and hears them messing with her bra, and she's like, "Billy, give it."
I'm sorry, I just can't stop laughing about how you always make fun of Allison's robe.
That robe's gotta go.
I feel like this robe comes up like every other episode.
She needs another robe. That robe needs to be in the wash with her other shit.
I think you're right. So we then go to the hospital, and Dan tell him,
"Enter the best guest star that we have ever seen
thus far.
Marcia Cross comes in to play the famous Kimberly Shaw."
Well, we don't even really know her name yet.
Right. Well, I know her name.
Well, I know you know her name. So we see this work colleague of Michael Mancini, and she works at the hospital with him as, I guess she's an intern as well.
Yeah, she's sort of in that same like boat as, I guess we're supposed to assume that she's always been there, sort of.
Yeah.
With Michael, and they're just, it's sort of like,
just work like
the
colleagues.
Show Scrubs, you know? Yeah. They're doing like the Scrubs.
Well,
stuff.
Yeah, they're interns at this hospital, and we find out that Jane has her ultrasound at the hospital at 1 p.m., but it just so happens Michael Mancini's doing for surgery at 1 p.m.
Yeah, and Mancini, not only does he have to report to Mr. K at home, but he's got this other tyrant who's running the interns at the hospital. So he and Kimberly are trying to devise a way for him to get out of surgery or do it quickly so that he can also partake in the ultrasound. Which you need to be there, especially for your first kid's ultrasound. Like, I wouldn't have missed that.
Well, not to worry. He told Jane to bring a VHS tape.
Right.
That they could record the ultrasound on the VHS and then they could go home and watch it together.
Right. That was the failsafe. That was like the bottom line.
Yeah. So, So it does turn out that Michael Mancini is not going to be able to attend the ultrasound with Jane. And Matt drives Jane to the hospital, I guess because right. she doesn't have a car of her own.
Right.
And Matt ends up staying with her because Michael's not going to be able to go to the appointment with her.
Right. And Matt always seems to find his way to other people's big events.
Like dramas.
He goes to auditions.
That's right.
Yeah. He takes Rhonda to her auditions. He takes Jane to her ultrasound. You know, he's hanging out with Sandy's shitty boyfriends who buy him trees. He's everywhere.
So they go into the ultrasound appointment room, and there's a nurse there, and they're getting the jelly all over Jane's stomach, and they put the ultrasoundy wand thing on top of her stomach, and they have an old monitor that kind of like the pregnancy test, where it's like, what are we looking at?
Yeah, it looks like looks like a Doppler radar.
No idea what's going on there. Like, I don't know how you could discern seeing any kind of a baby. I know we're pretty spoiled because in the last year, we were going to ultrasound appointments and seeing our little baby, and it was really cutting fun. Edge, I guess. Like, you know, you could really make out a baby.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
This looked like weather patterns of...
Yeah, it was like a tornado was coming. Minnesota. So, the doctors are exchanging worried looks, and we know that there's something wrong.
Yeah, Jane's starting to get a feel for it. They ask Matt to step outside, and unfortunately, they lay down the news that the baby has no heartbeat. So Jane, we find out this episode that Jane has lost the baby, and my predictions from episodes past are true. I knew they didn't get it.
Yeah. So yeah. Unfortunately, the baby had died at some point within the last month, and then they scheduled a DNC to remove the remainder of the fetus.
Right. And then does Michael find out yet, or do we jump to Billy and Allison?
We jump to Billy and Allison.
Right. And they're fighting over privacy and the fact that Billy had the bra on. And this is a weird cut to me because, well, these two storylines don't match. Like, one fight is like, meh, who really cares? Mm-hmm. And then this other storyline is super heavy. So, it's like, I don't know, I didn't like going back and forth to these two different problems.
Yeah, so Allison has put a lock on her door, and Billy's basically like, hey, that's what I do. I act immature. I mean, guys can be that way. And believe me, before we were singing your bra's praises before you came downstairs.
Right. There's this attitude about Billy that like, listen, Allison, the things that I do for you are actually good.
Yeah, and like, you should be lucky that I'm talking good things about your boobs.
He's your typical abusive piece of shit, Billy.
So Allison is basically like, Billy, we're getting too close.
They call the friendship quits.
Yeah, they basically are like, he says, well, come on, Allison, we can't pretend not to be friends. And that's when Allison delivers the line, believe me, Billy, I'm not pretending.
And I'm like, finally.
You know me. This is short-lived.
Oh, of course. Of course.
Then we jump back to the hospital. Jane is being wheeled out from the DNC procedure, and that's when Michael Mancini...
Yeah, Michael knows that they lost the baby, and all Jane can say is, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. So it's pretty sad. Like, this is the saddest we've seen Michael, of course. But, yeah. Yeah, really shitty. Really, really shitty.
So we go back to Melrose Place, and that's where Matt is gossiping to everyone that lives in Melrose Place.
The courtyard.
What happened?
The courtyard is swirling. It's swirling with buzz. Everyone's talking about the baby, and they roll up, and they just get mobbed by everyone who lives at Melrose Place. And in my head, I'm like, this is the last thing that I think that anybody wants to have to deal with. Their neighbors...
Yeah.
All up in the biz.
And they're all like, can we come in and make you tea? And they're like, yeah, come on in. I'd be like, no!
Like, we're going to need a minute. At least give us a day or something. So, I don't know.
They're all telling Jane and Michael, well, it was meant to happen. Maybe it was just God's way or nature's way. Everything's going to work out and be as it should.
Yeah. My note here is that Michael is starting, he's turning. He's starting to turn heel at this point, you know?
Oh, yeah, when like, he's in the bathroom looking in the mirror?
Yeah, he's just sort of, well, that happens later, I think. But, like, yeah, Jane and Michael, like, after everybody leaves, they go to sleep. And yeah. Jane and Michael have this moment on the bed where they're just kind of reflecting. And, or before that, she's like, Michael, are you coming to bed? Or
yeah, that's when he's in the bathroom.
He's, like, in the bathroom looking at himself in the mirror, and he's just... really, you can see the pain on his face, and like the Mancini that we're going to, that I know we're going to see down the road. He's
emerging.
Yeah, this is his transformation into Black Swan.
So Jane is very vocal about her feelings. She talks quite a bit about how she feels so cheated and how she feels the loss of this baby, and she's so upset about it. But we're not really getting anything from Michael. He's internalizing a lot of his feelings. He's not talking about it. And it just really doesn't seem as though it's hit him that he's lost the baby.
Right. And then we jump to dumb storyline with Billy and Allison. Then Allison's talking to Billy about how like they really lost the life and all that sort of thing. And then Billy, he tries to use the severity of that situation to make their argument seem pretty stupid.
Yeah, so he's like, look, you know, given what they're going through, this is pretty trivial. And they're kind of on the same page. And then Billy says, well, I guess we both were just acting like idiots.
Yeah, and Alice is like, motherfucker. I wasn't wearing your underwear.
You're an idiot. And then that's when Billy, I didn't really like catch this, but he, I guess, stared at her boobs and she loses it.
Yeah, I didn't get that either. I was like, wait, what? What
like, happened? If it happened, it was like for a split second.
And he's probably like, come on, they're boobs.
So we go back to Jane and Michael's house, and Jane is dreaming, and she's her dream is what it would be like to have a baby, and it's basically her and Michael inserted into the film strip of her parents.
Right, which I thought that was cool artsy.
You did?
You know, they wrote that out. They're like, so we're going to play the strip at the beginning,
uh-huh,
and then...
we're going to put them in the same costumes.
Right. And it's going to be Michael and Jane.
And then they have this like lullaby song that's like, and then all of a sudden it goes like
it gets off horror. Key.
And it's like, yeah, it gets very, very scary. Yeah. And they look down and there's no baby in their arms.
Jane wakes up, cold sweat. Michael's not around because he's already like dismantling everything baby.
Putting the crib and putting away. Putting
it downstairs in the laundry room, I guess. There's some access storage there.
Yeah, so they're telling their parents about the loss of a baby, and Michael says that he's going to work.
Yeah, he's going dark here, radio silence, kind of sort of creating distance between him and Jane.
So we're back at the hospital, and we're hanging out with Michael's new friend, Kimberly. She is basically wanting Michael to face the music and saying that he's in denial about the loss of the baby and that he needs to face up to reality and deal with what happened. And he's like, well, I thought surgery was going to be your thing, not head shrinking.
Yeah, and he's like, I'll see you in the OR.
And he basically tells her that she doesn't have a life and she needs to butt out of his.
Right. Now we're back to Allison and Billy's apartment. Allison is fresh out of the shower, and she's in the bathroom. The door is shut, and then Billy shows up in some, I don't know what the fuck that was.
He looked like a clown. I mean, he had this jacket on that...
What did he say? Was he like, I'm going to the beach?
No, he's going to Shooters.
Oh.
Dan, where does everybody go? They're going to Shooters.
Yeah, it's like I wouldn't go to the couch in
that. It was very of the moment, I think, of 92.
I missed that moment.
Lots of crazy patterns.
Very strange. But like Billy's talking
through the door, through the bathroom door to Allison.
And Allison just starts touching herself to the voice of Billy through the door.
Billy's telling Allison that he was the class clown back in high school. And Allison is like looking at herself in the mirror. And I got the sense of like she's afraid of him when he's talking. And then she lets her towel drop. And she's staring at her naked body in the mirror, and then just starts like you said, touching herself.
She's all up on it.
And it's like, what is? I was very taken aback by this scene.
Yeah,
I didn't know if like we're
didn't
afraid.
Fit. It didn't
are,
fit.
Are we afraid of Billy? Does she want to have an affair with Billy? Is she trying to like masturbate to Billy's voice? I did not get it.
Yeah, whatever you were trying, writers, directors. It did not translate. We did not get it. We cut to Jane back at the Mancini. Mm-hmm. She's on the phone with her mom explaining what happened. You know, when these type of things happen, people, you got to tell your family. You know, I'm sure they told a lot of people. And
yeah.
It sucks. It just sucks.
And there's a knock at the door, and they go outside. And there is Jake and Sandy.
Okay. Can we talk about the presentation of this?
Of course.
You want to tell them? So.
I don't know. Who should tell them?
It's like you guys are in the room with us, man.
Well, they did this very artfully. They had a dog leash taped to the Mancini's door. And then when the Mancini's opened the door, a little dog came bounding out from the side of Melrose Place.
And it's like, this dog, like, this wasn't a puppy or anything. This dog was like 30.
Well, in dog years.
It's old. It's like an old mangy dog.
So Sandy says that they rescued the dog from the pound. And she says, when I was really down in the dumps, somebody got me a dog and it brightened my day up.
And Mancini's face is like, God fucking damn it.
Yeah, he's like, look, guys, you know we can't have pets in Melrose Place. Like,
you know Mr. K? Mr. K don't play. And they're like, oh, don't worry about it. No one's going to tell him. And besides, you're the property manager.
And I kind of feel like you can't really get somebody a dog as like a surprise present unless they're your child.
No, you don't get people dogs unless you're in the family or like the head of the family.
Because that's a really huge commitment and a lot of responsibility. Yeah. And if you're going through, like you're really trying to go through basically a death, that's the last thing you need.
Yeah, you don't need another life like clouding to you know, sort of soften the blow.
Well, we see just how challenging it is because Jane and Michael are sleeping and it's the next day. They wake up to a crash. They go out into their apartment and it's as if all of their trash and everything in their pantries have just been knocked over and broken all over their apartment. The dog has made a mess of everything.
Yeah, this 40-year-old dog on his deathbed has gotten into all of their stuff and has eaten up everything, chewed it up, and then he takes a piss on Michael's doctor bag.
Yeah, Michael's doctor bag is like in the middle of the floor. And to add insult to injury, the little dog looks up at Jane and Michael and just starts peeing right on his bag.
Mm-hmm. So now we go back to the hospital. Michael is with his group of interns and his shitty boss. I didn't catch his name.
I didn't either.
Yeah, I didn't care to either. He was mean. mean doctor teacher. He is talking about a mistake that Michael made you know, distributing medicine or something like that.
He administered the wrong dosage of some kind of medicine to a patient. And while it really didn't have any consequence to this situation, he said, you know, I caught it in 3 minutes. I rectified the situation. And his superior was like, somebody can die in 3 minutes. You're going home. This is ridiculous. You're not in any like frame of mind to be caring for other people right now.
He's basically like, your work is suffering. You need to take some time and think about what you've done.
So Michael goes into the break room to gather up his belongings. And then his new friend doctor, who we know is Kimberly Shaw, runs after him. And he's like, come on, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You're supposed to be doing the rounds with the rest of the interns. And she was like, no, I wanted to just let you know that I really care about you.
Yeah.
And you need to face reality.
Yeah. And I mean, she's saying the right stuff, but, you know, this is like the next day, two days. And he's really just not feeling it. And he's like, look, you need to butt out. You need to butt out of my life and stop, you know, leaving the group. Let me just do me. I'm going to go home. I'm leaving.
Now, Dan, we missed a really, really big part.
What?
So Billy and Jake are back in their apartment, and Allison has put up a lock on her door, and Jake coerces Billy. Billy coerces Jake to break in to Allison's room. That's because right. Billy had lent her some cassette tapes and a stereo, and he's like, "I need to get my tapes. Yeah. I lent them to her."
And this is fucking childish as hell. Like, this is what you do if you're a stupid, like, high school boyfriend or something. The second somebody shuts you out, you try to find a way to, like, jump back in and be like, oh, well, I need my tapes back.
Right. So they break into her room, they get the stereo, and they get the tapes.
It's not even a stereo. This is a boombox.
It's a boombox.
And some tapes.
Yeah, it's a boombox. And then they're walking out of Allison's room, and Billy is drinking a beer, and he tries to throw it into the trash can, and it misses. And then Jake goes to, like, reach for it and throw it away, and he just looks at Jake and goes, leave it.
Yeah. Like, he's trying to be, like, he's sort of, like, claiming his territory. And he's like, this is my place too, and I don't need to clean it.
Yeah. So Matt and Jane are at the beach, and they're walking along the shoreline with their new little puppy. And Matt is kind of comforting Jane, and Jane's talking out her feelings and just saying that this is the worst thing that's ever happened to her, and that she really hasn't gone through loss or death in her life, and this is really her first experience with it. And they're getting into a deep conversation, and then they look around, and the dog is gone.
Doggy is nowhere to be found. It's like, oh my God, what have we done?
So we're back at Melrose Place, and Jake and Billy are sitting by the pool. It's the evening. They have the boombox out. They're listening to the cassette tapes. And Allison comes home and notices that they're listening to the cassette tapes that were in her room. So she confronts Billy and is like, you broke into my room. What the hell is wrong with you? And she storms back in, and he follows her. And she's like, hey, you know what? I don't like people going through my stuff. Let's see how you like it.
And he's like, well, I didn't go through your stuff because they're my tapes. They were just in your room. And she does a little, let's see how that feels on the other shoe. Let's see how the shoe fits on the other foot. Let's try the shoe on the other foot.
I don't know. Let's just get a taste of your own medicine.
Yeah, that's what I'd say. But she doesn't do anything. She, like, goes in and, like, picks up some books. And then
she finds...
And then a pen...
A playpen dirty magazine.
A playpen. And that is a play on Playboy and Penthouse.
I don't know. I think playpen was, like, a thing.
No, there was Penthouse and there's Playboy. There's no playpen.
No?
No, playpen's what you put babies in.
Well, not in Melrose Place.
Billy's looking at kitty porn.
I hope not.
Playpens.
And he's like, no, I get that for the articles, like everyone says. And And so...
And then she's just even more disgusted and says, like, you are a sexist, you're a chauvinist, and this is disgusting.
And she says, you have this preoccupation with women's mammaries.
Yeah. She is a mom. Yeah. This episode is about the real mother of Melrose Place, and it's Allison.
You know what? You're really touching on something.
Or maybe it's to show that, like, maybe Allison is Jane in the future, and like this, this is what you will be later as a mother. Like, do you really want this? Because this is how you raise a child.
That is a good spin on it. Yeah. So we go back to the Mancini's residence, and it's in the evening. Jane has been trying to track down Michael all day. If you remember, he was sent home earlier in the day, and we find out that Michael has just been driving around and thinking.
Yeah. And, he's internalized everything up to this point about... the miscarriage and then abortion, and he ain't doing right. And Jane's like, she confronts him. She's like, what is going on?
And she tells him, I lost the dog. And he's like, how did you lose the dog?
He's like, God damn it.
Well, we went to the beach. I had him off the leash. We were talking. I turned around and he was gone. So then Michael gets really angry.
He blows up. And when Mancini's get mad, they get mad.
He is not happy.
He ain't
and
happy.
He's like, you know, first you allow this dog into our house, and then you lose it. You want to replace the baby with the dog, and immediately you lose the dog just like you lost our baby.
And she's like, admit it, Michael. You think it's my fault. Admit it. And she's just like baiting him. Then he gives her the answer that she wants, and she storms off.
Yeah, he says that he does blame Jane for the miscarriage because she wanted to have an abortion. And he thinks that that somehow played a role in her miscarrying.
Mm-hmm. Which doesn't make much sense, but I don't know.
So we're back at the hospital. We're in the break room and Michael is there. He sees Kimberly.
Kimberly!
Work colleague, and he apologizes to the way that he's treated her. And Kimberly says that she spent the whole night sleepless, and she's going through self-analysis, and she's come to the realization that while she might be brilliant and a fantastic surgeon, she doesn't have a life, and that she was really hoping that they were developing a relationship.
Right. This is... things are moving very fast to establish that Kimberly obviously wants a little bit more than Michael can give at this point.
Yeah.
And by that, I mean his penis.
Oh, no.
She wants it.
Well, he says, well, you wouldn't ask, Jane wouldn't say the same thing. You know, she's not really happy with me right now. And she's like, well, Jane's a very lucky woman and she's a damn fool.
No, you destroyed it.
Guys, it's almost midnight, okay? Dan basically has me as an indentured slave, and I have to do these.
You must podcast.
And I'm so tired.
But
I am so tired.
It's very different from, like, hey, Jane's a lucky woman, and she's a fool.
Okay. Fine. Why don't you just tell the rest of this episode,
I can't.
Please?
I can't. So, Billy and Allison are back to arguing, and I don't even know what about anymore. It gets to a point where Allison is like, well, you know what? This is the real reason why I got so upset.
Well, they're at the fridge, and Allison is like, this is ridiculous. We can't live this way.
Because he can't look at her.
Yeah, Billy comes over, and he won't even look in her direction. And he's like, yeah, this is ridiculous. And she's like, Billy, why are you not even looking at me? He's like, well, just in case my eyes drop into the forbidden zone, I don't want to be yelled at and called
such
insensitive.
Such a baby. This is what babies do.
So that's when Allison says, oh, it's okay. There's no way you could have known.
And he's like, what? Known what? And then Allison goes into a pretty sad story about how her mother was sick when she was a kid. They didn't visit her in the hospital. I'm not sure why that was a detail. But she had breast cancer and had a double mastectomy. And that is why she is so sensitive to people idolizing breasts and how they're linked to a woman's self-esteem.
Right. So she hates the magazines and they kind of come to an understanding.
Right.
Men. Women.
Women.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
Allison does her odd head roll and smirk. Billy does his, like, weird, childish, like, okay, I guess we're friends again.
So we're back at the beach, yeah. And Matt and Rhonda are putting up lost dog posters.
And they're stapling them in inappropriate places.
And I gotta ask you, they had that dog for about 4 hours. How did they get pictures of it?
I don't know.
They have pictures of this dog. They're putting lost dog posters all over the beach.
They're putting it on a sign that says no lifeguard on duty. Like, this is a real sign that's important. And you're putting two lost dog signs on it. And it's not, this is not.
I am delirious right now.
It's not even like a stapleable sign. It's like hard and beech wood, you know? And then they staple it on like a blue like receptacle for like, that's hard plastic. Have you seen those beach receptacles?
Like for recycling or trash?
Yeah, this is like serious grade, like tough plastic.
So while they're doing this, they're saying, you know, Jane's been through so much. We just want to help her find the dog. And then that's when Matt starts talking about his friends with HIV and AIDS and how society thinks that blames them for getting HIV and AIDS for being gay. And I think that that's kind of like a parallel to Michael Mancini blaming Jane for having a miscarriage because she wanted an abortion initially.
Interesting. Yeah. And then, speaking of Michael, he just knows where they are at the beach.
Yeah, he just shows up.
He shows up. He has to talk to Jane.
This exchange was very weird, guys.
Yeah, I have a lot of cues, a lot of questions here. So they go, the setting changes. They're then sitting on a boat. It appears that in between cuts, like Michael is now wet from the waist down.
He has khakis on and they're soaking wet from the waist down.
Yeah, if you're going to rewatch this episode, double check that. He has clean pants.
Did they go sailing?
Yeah.
Or are they just sitting on like a random sailboat on the beach?
Yeah, my questions are, did they sail? Why is Michael wet? And whose boat is that? Whose boat is that? There, they act like it's theirs.
I can't right now. So okay, let's talk about this exchange. She's like, okay, what are you doing here? And Michael says, I was rescued by Dr. Shaw. And Jane says, I don't know him. And he says,
he's a her.
And she was like, oh, should I be jealous?
And he says, yup.
He says, probably. Yeah. And her face is like, excuse me?
Foreshadowing.
And then that was it.
That was it.
It was very weird.
It's a big foreshadow, I guess, for what's to come.
Yeah, and then they sit on the sailboat, and he was just, that's when Michael
is wet.
And is trying to show us his emotional range.
Oh.
Which, oof. Not good, guys.
About the range of a Nerf gun.
Of a stovetop. It's so bad. He is just like, oh, I just wanted to tell you how sorry I was from the beginning. And he's almost crying, but it's, guys, it's not good.
Doesn't work. Sorry, Mancini. And then, you know, well, I guess you don't. Rhonda shows up. They found the dog.
Yay! Some weird homeless person had it.
Yeah, there's this hillbilly witch that lives on the beach. She finds the dog. She finds the dog. She is some sort of operation out of her house.
Is it a house? Is it like one of those changing places on the beach? I don't know.
What the fuck? She is selling like wizard staffs, these wooden figures. She is not of this world. I don't know what is going on there. She is a hillbilly. All I can explain her as is a hillbilly witch. If she finds the dog, she talks about, I think her husband's name was Daryl.
So she named it Barney?
Yeah, I was like, wait, so your husband's Daryl, you named this dog Barney.
I don't get it.
Go figure. Because okay. She's like, because you can't name a dog Daryl. What?
And then she's like, my horoscope says that an unexpected display of generosity is going to happen today.
Right. And so they give her the dog.
Well, at first they're like, thank you so much for finding the dog. And then they're walking away with the dog. And Jane and Michael are like, we don't really want this dog.
Yeah, let's just give her this.
It's like, this is a life. It's not like...
Well, the dog, see, did you catch this? The dog, like, was the baby. Because Jane says goodbye to the dog, and she says,
I loved you.
Yeah. It was her way of letting go of the dog and the baby.
I guess you're right.
Yeah, so it's just like, your dog is gone. And they lost the dog, and they lost the baby, mm-hmm. and there's that little metaphor, and... But yeah, so then the episode sort of ends on the beach. Michael and Jane are walking, and they're back to
happy couple.
They're back to happy couple. Yeah, they have closure now that Gandalf's ex-wife has the dog.
Okay, so recap: what's going on with all these peeps?
Jane and Michael lose the baby.
Yeah.
Billy, he loses his privileges in the house, and we have the arrival of Kimberly Shaw.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
What's the lesson that you take away from this episode?
You want me to go first?
Yeah.
My lesson is you need to tell people what the actual problem is at the beginning of the problem. If Michael, opened up and told Jane about his feelings, maybe they don't go down this ugly road of turmoil. And if Allison told Billy immediately, like, hey, I got a thing with boobs because my mom, we don't have this episode.
I guess you're right. We'd miss out on the gem of this episode.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My lesson is, don't put out baby furniture until you've gotten past the 3 months and gotten your first sonogram.
Yeah.
Why do that?
Sort of jumped the gun there, Michael. And he, like, broke his toe doing all that.
Yeah.
And he burnt down the house almost.
Yeah, it seems like it's moving a little too fast.
Yeah.
So I know that there was a bunch of 90s moments that happened. What's your favorite?
My favorite 90s moment is a scene with Kimberly and Michael. They're in the break room, I guess, of the hospital. And there is a old, janky 90s soda machine.
I wouldn't say that's 90s. I'd say that's like 70s.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is like very... They put one coin in and got a drink. So you know that shit was 25 cents.
Or less. And my 90s moment is the cassette tapes. Oh, I had so many cassette tapes.
Would you break into your sister's room?
My sister, hell yes.
To get your tapes?
Of course I would. They were such a coveted commodity back in those days that you would break someone's lock to get to them.
I need my tapes. All right, so this episode's name, which neither of us understood.
A Promise Broken.
What would you rename the episode if you had to?
Well, I was going to name it Breast Friends, just because there was so much that was put on boobs on both storylines.
Breast friends.
We started like talking about Jane's, talking about how her breast started to swell when she became pregnant.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There was like all these, everything about boobs. But you know what? I think you're really onto something about like mothers.
Mm.
I think that maybe you could like come up with a clever little name about like, about moms or mothers or
postnatal care.
Ooh.
I just made that up. But that's not mine.
Okay. Well, tell us, what's yours?
What was yours? Mothers?
Breast friends.
Oh, breast friends.
Oh my gosh. Good night, guys.
Mine's a sentence.
Help us.
Mine's a question and an answer.
Okay, tell us.
It is privacy? No thanks.
Oh, with everybody.
With everybody. Jane and them get no privacy after the miscarriage, and Allison gets no privacy the entire episode.
Cool.
Because Billy barges in.
So, what are your predictions for upcoming episodes?
All right. My predictions, and I'm cheating because I know, Michael is gonna get with Kimberly. And this show is about to take flight, guys. this is where, you know, we've changed gears. I think this is now the show that we know is going to be it moving forward.
Yay!
And Billy and Allison are going to get together. That's clear.
Yeah, I think that's Billy and Allison for sure. I think you were dead on in the beginning of the episode that Allison was just trying to get a date with him.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of like flirtiness back and forth. There's a lot of sexual tension with them. So I think Billy owes her that dinner out, and I think he's going to finally give it up to her.
And they're going to get it on in that blue ratty robe.
And of course, Kimberly and Michael, I think, even if we had not seen episodes after this, it's pretty evident that she has a thing for Michael, and that is going to go somewhere. And then, just for fun, Billy might have a future in cross-dressing and being a drag queen. Because when he put on that bra, he's like, this feels really good.
The lace.
The silk against my skin. So, I don't know. He could be a pretty good drag queen.
Maybe.
West Hollywood's calling your name, baby.
Get out there, Billy Campbell. All right, that's it. We're on iTunes. Please rate and review us. We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Melrose Pod. You can email us, melrosepod@gmail.com. We'd love hearing from you guys. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.